God, we just turn this time over to you, and we ask you that you would breathe life into your word, quicken your word into us, wake us up spiritually to be ready to hear from you this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm going to need pencils. If you already have one, let us know. If not, I need somebody to gather some pens and pencils over there and pass them out. Let's see. Carson, would you like to pass out some hearts for me? These hearts. In case you didn't have a heart, you will today. About to give you one. Give everyone a heart. And don't write on it yet until I tell you.
Don't let anybody be heartless.
Go ahead. Just wait a minute for those pens.
So that... some heads too.
Nope, only hearts. You don't need a head if you have a good heart. Let God be the head. So if you need a pen, raise your hand and Maria will give you one. I have another one here if you run out. I'll give you mine. John, you didn't get a pen. You need a pen. Don't miss John. He needs a pen. Everyone needs a pen. Even Tim should have a pen. You can even write. If you don't want to write the words that I'm going to suggest, you can at least scribble and make up your own shorthand so that nobody else knows what you wrote. Let me ask you a question, even before we get going here. Thank you. Let me ask you a question. Have any of you wondered why what's going on? Have you wondered, maybe it's me? Have I done something wrong? Have any of you said, have I done something wrong, God? Have we as a church done something wrong? Is this my fault? Have any of you felt that?
Yes.
Have any of you felt overwhelmed just individually, if it's not even about the church, but in your own life? God, why is my life going the way it is? What am I doing wrong? What is wrong with me? What's happening in my life? Is it my fault? I got two hands up here. Well, we're going to address that in a little bit. Micah 4:6. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. Have you felt like we're being driven out of this place? Have you in your own personal life felt like you've been afflicted lately? There is so much affliction going on in people's private lives. It's amazing. You can have one too. Did you get one?
Yeah.
Give all the kids one if they want it. Oh, did they leave? Okay, never mind. Did you get one though?
Yep.
Okay. We'll get the kids later. Well, there's a day that God says, I am going to assemble her that is weakened. We're weakened, but God is going to reassemble us as a body. He's going to put us back together. We are driven out, and we are afflicted, but God is going to reassemble us and put us together. Verse 9. Now, why do you cry out aloud? Is there no king in you? Is your counselor perished? For pangs have taken you as a woman in travail. God says, why are you crying out? Is there no king in you? You're crying out as if there is no real God living inside of you. He said, you're crying out the wrong way. You're crying out, but you're complaining maybe. God, why are you letting this happen? God, where are you? What are you doing? Or maybe you're crying out in hopelessness. I just don't know what we're going to do. This is just terrible. He said, why are you crying out as if there is no king living inside of you? He didn't call himself God, Lord, friend. He called himself king. He said, is there no king living inside of you? What can kings do? They can change everything. They can make decrees. Is there a king living in you? Is your counselor perished? He said, do you have no counsel from God? Do you not know what to do? I have felt that a lot. I know the king is living in me, but I wondered why he's not counseling me, telling me what to do. Where's my counselor? So I've done some wrong kind of crying out, like, God, okay, we're moving. Where? Where are we supposed to go? What are we supposed to do? You know, I'm sure that Elise's family, baby Elise, is crying out and saying, man, one minute they say the baby's better, she's going home, and the next minute her belly's all swollen up and her liver is destroyed, and they're looking for a liver for a transplant now. I mean, it just changes every day, and it's like, I'm sure they're crying out and saying, what is the counsel? What do we do? I don't know what to do here. And he says, you're crying like a woman who's in labor. Anybody cried out like that lately, like a woman in labor pain? I loved yesterday that Brother Don was here, and Brother Don just went through, was it a triple bypass surgery? And before he went in, he was kind of scared. He was afraid for his life. He said he cried out, weeping, wailing, crying out to God, like a woman screaming and crying before birth. And then a verse came to his mind in the Bible about a king who had turned his face to the wall, weeping and crying out to God. And then God sent the prophet in and said, tell the king I've expanded his life 15 years. He was dying, but I'm giving him 15 years. When Don went in the hospital, they told him that the average lifespan of someone going through that surgery is an added 15 years. And he had his confirmation, but he cried out in some serious weeping, wailing prayer to God. It was his only hope. We can cry out complaining. We can cry out blaming God. We can cry out whining about what's going on. Or we can cry out to the King, the only one who can change things. So God says in verse 10, be in pain. Okay, you're in pain. God says, okay, be in pain. And labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shall you go forth out of the city, and you shall dwell in the field, and you shall go even unto Babylon. Well, let's just stop there for a minute. You're going out of the city. God is taking you out of a busy place where you've been. You're going out into the field. Maybe you're going to spend some one-on-one alone time wandering around in some dry places with God. Or maybe he's going to send you into Babylon, into a place full of wicked, evil people. We don't know. But God says, you're going out from where you're at. You're going somewhere else. And he says, and there shall you be delivered. There shall you be delivered. There is a reason when God lets us be afflicted. There's a reason when he changes things and we go through something. And it's so that we, first of all, we get delivered. There the Lord shall redeem you from the hand of your enemies. Do you have enemies? Spiritual enemies? Do you have demons that plague you and haunt you and torment you and accuse you? Do they come in saying, you're stupid, you're lazy, you're worthless, you're failing, you are a failure? These are your enemies, these attacking spirits. Sometimes they get you to agree with them and do what they want. You just keep doing that over and over and over, that same sin, that same attitude. They get you to do it, and then they accuse you of doing it, and then they bring guilt and shame. Did anybody go through that? Anybody going through that kind of thing? Micah 5:1 says, now gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. We need to get together, and we need to pray. We need to pray like a woman in travail to our king, not complaining prayer. Micah 6:1 says, hear ye now what the Lord says. Arise, contend before the mountain, and let the hills hear your voice. I don't know who your enemy is, and I don't know what he's saying to you right now. But whatever enemy you have is the mountain that's blocking you from God. It's the mountain that's blocking you from your own deliverance. And you need to start contending with your mountain. You need to contend with it. You need to argue with it. You need to fight with it. You need to rebuke it. That word contend means you need to tussle it, grapple with it, wrestle with it, rebuke it, and throw it out of your life. These are your enemies, these mountains, these voices, these spirits that are attacking our hearts. Verse 2 says, wait a minute. Oh, 1 Peter 4:17, but stay in Micah. 1 Peter 4:17 says, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begin first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? I believe that if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. So when we're contending with these enemies, we need to also be truthful. Have we given in to them? Have we agreed with them? Have we done something? Well, instead of just telling the enemy, you're a liar and I'm fine, we need to let God search our heart and find out if we're fine. And that's what we're going to do today. And that's why you have a picture of a heart. And we're going to start searching our heart today. And I want to encourage you to be extremely honest with God. In verse 2 in Micah 6:2, God says, hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto you? And wherein have I wearied you? Testify against me. Are we blaming God? Are we blaming God? God, why didn't you pay for the building? God, why did you let my baby get sick? Why, God, why are you letting this happen to me? God, why don't I have a home? God, why did my friend betray me? God, why are we blaming God? God says, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Why do you blame me when you cry out? He says, for I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I redeemed you out of the house of servants. God said, what did I do to you? I found you in sin. I brought you out of sin. I loved you. I rescued you. I'm the good guy here. Why do you blame me when things go wrong? You know, there's two spirits that are going on here. One is your enemy and one is your deliverer. So why, when things go wrong, do we blame the good guy? Let's blame whose fault it is and blame the enemy. Right. Thank you. But sometimes we take ourselves back in slavery. You know, we think about Egypt. God rescued them from Egypt. He led them out of Egypt so they could serve him. Then he gets them out of Egypt, out of slavery, and they start whining because there's some restrictions out there. They don't have the same food. They got to eat food they liked. They got addicted to certain foods in Egypt. And they're complaining, we were better off in Egypt. Well, at least we got to eat some stuff we liked. They started whining and complaining because they had not given their heart to serve God. They still wanted to go back to the very sin that enslaved them. We still serve sin when we serve pride, selfishness, greed. We serve these different sins. What does God want? Does he ask us to work harder, try harder, be better? We can't. In verse 8 he says, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. I can't do any of those things except love mercy. That's the only one of those I can really choose to do. Because I can't do justly unless he helps me. I can't walk humbly unless he keeps forgiving my pride. But the one thing in there I can do is love mercy. I have to love mercy because I need so much of it. Every day, all the time. In verse 10, I really didn't want to bring this today. I like what Brother Harvey brought better, just telling us how loved we are. But God led me, so we're going to read verse 10. Are there yet treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable? He said, is there a little bit of wickedness here? Is there a little bit? Is there a little bit of greed here? When we have to start getting rid of everything, what goes on in our heart? What can I get? How much can I have? How much can I make? I want. Do we have greed going on? A little scant measure of greed going on? Is there a scant measure of anything that would search to keep our hearts from loving God? He wants to magnify and search our heart. In verse 12, he brings up violence, but this one doesn't really mean fighting in blood. It means unjust gain. There's a violent spirit that says, that is mine. It's an unjust gain. It's wanting to violently, you know, something inside of you that's grabbing and taking. Then there's lies and deceit. In verse 13, he says, and because of that, there will be sickness come on you. In 15, shall you not reap what you will not reap what you've sown if you have this going on in your heart. In Micah chapter 7, he talks about anger, revenge, unforgiveness. We need to ID the enemies within us. And I want to give you so much hope, though, because I'm going to show you my little heart. Because we're going to put any enemies that get in our heart, we're going to have you write them down. This is my heart this morning. So, you know, I had to write outside the lines because I had so much bad stuff that goes on in my heart. I couldn't get it all in that little picture. So I made your hearts a little bigger so you have more room for that. You're so welcome. Thank you. Psalm 139:23-24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God requires the payment of blood for our sin, right? And Jesus paid for all of our sin, right? So what are we going to do with what we find in our hearts this morning? I want to encourage you, because that's the only way you can be honest, is knowing that it's forgiven. I was going to use the blood from the cross, but we packed it. So this is the blood of Jesus this morning. And after we confess all of the things we find going on in our heart, don't write your name on them. Then we're going to come up here and we're going to put them right under the blood of Jesus and know that they're gone, they're taken care of. And then when you get up tomorrow, if you're lucky, but probably in my case, before the day is over today, those things are going to be back in my heart again. Some of them are going to be right back in there again. And that's when the enemy comes and says, you might as well give up. You're hopeless. You're not changing. You're not changing. You're forgiven. When we confess our sin, we keep a short list. We just keep saying it every time we see it. Oh, God, there it was again. I was being greedy. Oh, God, there it is again. I was judging somebody. Oh, God, there it is. I'm criticizing him. Oh, God, there it is again. I'm giving up. I'm depressed. Yeah, that's a sin. There it is again, God. It's my insecurity. I didn't step up and speak because I was scared. I was worried about what they would think of me. There it is again, God. Please forgive me. Right back under the blood. Right back under the blood. See, he doesn't expect you to become sinless. He expects you to become honest. Just honest. Just keep it confessed and keep putting it back under the blood. Because what he desires is mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. That is what he desires. Both of those you have the power to give him. Choosing mercy and living in an extreme truth. That's what you can give God. So we're going to do that today. So let's pray right now this prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. I want you to just lift your hands up if that's your prayer. Yes. Lift your hands up. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Yes. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 51:6, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you shall make me to know wisdom. You know, in James chapter 1, it says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Any man, you ask wisdom, God will give it to you. If you're not double-minded, he said, but let, you have to ask in faith, believing, no doubting. Because if you're double-minded, you're unstable in all your ways. And God can't, why would he give you wisdom if you won't take it, believe it's from him, and do something with it? We want wisdom. But if we come back to this verse, it says, you desire this truth in the inward part, and then in the hidden part you'll make me to know wisdom. So we're going to confess. We're going to be honest about our heart. We're going to bring it under the blood of Jesus. And then we're going to begin to ask God for wisdom. And whatever he tells us, we're going to believe him. And we're going to act on it. This is how we're going to get deeper wisdom today. Brother Harvey, again, he mentioned in Sunday school that you should grab a verse, the verse that God is emphasizing, the verse that God's breathing into for you, the one that's jumping out of the Bible for you. You should take that verse and you should meditate on it all day long. Carry it around with you. Well, this is my carry around with me verse right now. Psalm 85:10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Whenever we are deeply honest with God, mercy is abundant. And because of that, his righteousness and his peace kiss each other. You get filled with the righteousness of God, and peace overwhelms you. It's amazing. It's awesome. But mercy and truth have to meet together for that to happen. Psalm 86:15, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Okay, now we're going to look in our heart for a minute. All these things have been in my heart. I've had to confess them. They've probably all been in my heart this week. Every week, probably every day. Whenever they come in my heart, I have to confess them and bring them under the blood of Jesus. Greed. I've had greed. I have looked at things in here and said, I paid a lot of money for that. And that's mine. And I want more money for it. I don't want to lose anything here, you know. I have been greedy of gain. Pride. I mean, I just said that in the first sentence. I paid a lot of money for that. You know, I put a lot of work in this place. I have done this and I have done that. Pride. If any of these fit you, you can start filling your heart out. Selfishness. What about me? How about me? What's going to happen to me? Where do I fit in this plan? Why do I have to do this and do that and somebody else doesn't have to? Lack of compassion. I was confessing that when Leida joined me for prayer. She came back to join me for prayer, and I said, I was just confessing my sins. Lack of compassion. I have a good friend in very bad health right now, and honestly, this morning I was telling the Lord, I don't want to go do anything about it. I don't want to get involved. Honestly, I don't even feel like I love her or care. And I've had problems with this friend and a lot of offenses, and that was really coming up in my heart, that my heart has gone cold. And I didn't want to help her. Doubt? You had any doubt? I mean, oh my gosh. Did God really say this? Is God really going to do that? Confusion? Depression? I've been depressed in the past week. I'm a morning person, and I find myself looking at that clock going, I wish I could sleep forever. I don't want to get up and face this day. I don't want to wake up today. I don't even want to get up and have to go read and get encouraged. I'd rather just stay asleep and avoid everything. Depression. Quitting and giving up. They go with depression. I just sometimes just get so tired of trying. Insecurity. not being bold enough to speak up or do what he wants. Fakeness. How about being artificial, being fake? How about just trying to look good, feel good, make everybody think everything is good when it's not? Fear. Fear of the unknown. Helpless. We're not helpless. There's a king living in us. We're not helpless. I can't even read this word. Oh, covetous, wanting things you don't have. Deceit. Distrust of others around you. Criticism, judging. Defensiveness. Carnality. About sometimes just giving into the flesh. I'm going to just go do what's comfortable and feels good. Gluttonous. You know what I did yesterday? Because I was working so hard here all day long, started so early and feeling a bit sorry for me, I decided to take a break and just go down and eat burger and fries, which is not in my menu. And then at the end of the day, after it was all over, I said, I really deserve a hot fudge sundae. So I went out and had a hot fudge sundae too. Now that's okay once in a while for a free day, but that used to be my lifestyle. To tell myself I deserved all those things all the time and ended up with bad health because of it. Neglecting God's word or prayer or time with God. Too busy. Addictions. We all have different addictions. Failure. Here's the devil comes along. Have you made mistakes? The devil comes along and puts failure in your heart. Call yourself a failure. The guilt, the shame. Is there guilt and shame in your heart for many of these things? Maybe you come up with more, even more. If you name yours, I'd probably add them to my list. Forgiveness is a powerful thing. God's mercy. Love. Mercy. It is so powerful because it can take all this burden off your heart like that. Can't click. In 1 minute, it's gone. Matthew 12, 30 through 31. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is none other commandment greater than these. As yourself. Mark. What did I say? Oh, sorry, Mark. Do you love yourself the same as you're willing to love others? Pastor Harvey, do you have a full heart of sin over here? That's pretty full. And you're right, tiny, so I have a full heart of sin. He has a full heart of sin.
We save him later.
Terry, would you forgive him? Would you be merciful to him? Or do you think, would you like to nail him up and burn him or something? Would you forgive me?
Yes.
What about Marie? Do you love me enough to forgive us for these? Roxanne? Who's better? Roxanne and Terry, Marie, or God? Who's more loving and kind? If y'all are willing to forgive us, surely God is willing. So why are we not willing to forgive ourselves? Love, mercy. Because if you don't forgive you, then you won't forgive anyone else either.
Right.
You will have this attitude. Hey, just forget all the past. Just forget everything about me. I don't matter. Just go serve God. Just bite the bullet, do what's right. If I treat myself that way, I will treat you that way. If I won't forgive me, then I won't have a heart that will forgive you, because my heart will stay full of this stuff, junk. If I don't forgive myself, I keep a burdened, guilty heart. And then I can't let God love you and forgive you through me. So when he says, love your neighbor as yourself, the same way you do you, he wants us to live in mercy, forgiveness. He doesn't want us under guilt and shame. Even though we are guilty, all the time we are guilty, he wants us to live under confession and mercy all the time. So the only way we can do that is the blood of Jesus, keeping it under the blood of Jesus. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth shall make you free. John 8:32. Be utterly honest with God.